What is going on, Swoopers? Welcome back to another episode of Swoop Luke. Let's talk about that amazing win last night. Let's get into it. So Collingwood took on the reigning premiers last night in front of 86,000 people at the MCG. It was just beautiful to be back. 180 days, I think, since we've last played a proper AFL, season game. That was the prelim. And then the last game was Fremantle at the MCG. So it was just beautiful to be back. It was a beautiful day, beautiful night. And oh my God, what a win it was by our Pies boys. It was incredible. No media pundit saw this coming. Like, everyone had tipped Geelong. Like, we were the underdog going in, you know, and rightfully so. I get it, reigning premiers and stuff like that, but we show that not only can we match it with the reigning premiers, we can beat the reigning premiers. The game started off, you know, quick bang, pretty much in, you know, Geelong's favour. Then we'd peg some goals back, then Geelong would go on a, you know, 3 or 4 goal run, and then we'd peg some goals back, Geelong would kick another couple goals, and it just kept seesawing like that for so long. I think the highest lead we had at a couple of points throughout the game. Until that third quarter hit, we started banging on the goals. We kick 8 goals in a row, 8 unanswered goals against the premiers. We go on and win the game by over 20 points. It's just, oh man, everything that we built up last year came to fruition yesterday. Like, if this sort of game happens last season, does it turn out to be like the round 3 game where we are in the lead for a lot and then sort of Geelong pegs back, or if it was a close game, which it was by a couple of points, and then we bang on those few goals? Last season, we don't do that. We just crawl through those wins. But this is what I'm saying when I say that everyone who's kind of got us finishing out of the 8 because of the close wins and how they were lucky are wrong. I know we won't know the top 8 until round 23, and we saw, you know, what happened with Carlton and numerous other teams and stuff like that, that it can come up to the final day. But what I'm trying to say is that, yes, those close games were close games, right? We win those close games, and some of them were luck, but how much can you put it down to luck when you're doing it 12 times or whatever it was? This season, and I've said it before, we won't have any close games because we'll be able to put teams more to the sword. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday. I've been saying that if you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And Geelong are clearly the best. Premiers last year, they were on a 16-game winning streak that we just came and decimated in the best way possible. At times, it looked like it just wasn't going to happen, right? Naturally, it just looked like it wasn't going to happen. But that never say die attitude that Craig McRae has instilled, and all the other coaches, obviously, into these boys, into this Collingwood side, is just second to none. Geordie came out, Jack Chris came out after the game and said that they know that they can run games out now. And there was years where we weren't doing that. So credit, all the credit, or most of the credit anyway, goes to Jared Wade, our high performance coach, who's just doing a number on these boys and doing it very, very well. In saying all of that though, there is a lot to work on. Yes, it was a great win and you know, against the Premiers. There is a lot to work on though. Geelong kicking 16-1 at one stage is just nuts. That never happens, right? That is crazy. I want teams to kick 1 goal 16 against us for once in our bloody lifetime. But putting that aside, Geelong ate us up on the transition at most times. You know, that the counter attack would be at times where we would have one defender and 3 or so Geelong players. And it was stuff like that where we could be a little bit tighter, and it nearly did cost us the game. But we were able to, you know, put that aside and get the win and do more attacking sort of style of football. But it's those little things where deep into the season, that's when you separate the winners from the losers, you know, the top 8 from the bottom 10. We got to do those things a little bit better, and hopefully that's what we go back and work on throughout the week. All right, let's talk about some of the players. Now, I could go on and mention every single player because everyone played their role perfectly, but let's talk about the new recruits. Bobby Hill, 10 disposals, 3 goals, a goal assist, incredible, electric, just... Can you imagine a forward line with Ginnivan and Bobby Hill? It's just, it's going to happen. It's not going to be one or the other. It's going to happen, and it is going to be insane. It is going to be so exciting. And Bobby Hill, he especially in that second half of the game, he was doing a lot of good things right. Lots of runs, getting into really good positions. You know, some good touches here and there. So I'm excited to. It's probably maybe his career best game. I know he equaled his career best goal tally, but he done a lot of things right, and I can't wait to see the progress of him throughout the year. Dan McStay only kicked the one goal. Radiglia did have him in his back pocket, and props to Radiglia because he was about to get traded or delisted or something crazy like that. They've reinvented him as a fullback, and I would love him at Collingwood. No doubt I would love him at Collingwood because he played that role so well. But Dan McStay, yes, he only kicked one goal, would have liked a couple of more, but his presence was felt. Crashing packs, you know, smashing through packs. He's a great foil for Brody Marchek. Brody Marchek doesn't have to be that guy that smashes every pack now. He can kind of stay off if he needs to. Dan McStay's presence is worth the price tag alone. Now, Tom Mitchell. What more can be said about Tom? 11 clearances, 5 more than any other player on the ground. You know, I think he had 4 in the last quarter or something like that. 2 goals. He is just that guy. Like, oh my God, absolutely special. We lacked any sort of clearance pressure last season. And then we go up and we recruit the best clearance player in the game. And look what he produces. This is why I keep saying that he is Luke Ball. Like, that's why. He won the Brownlow in 2018 because of that midfield clearance work. No, he's not going to get 45 possessions every game. But if he is getting those sort of clearances, those in and under, smashing it down, you know, diving in, it releases Taylor Adams, it releases Jack Cruz, you know, Maynard, Dacos, whoever else is in the middle, Scott Pendlebury. It just releases all those guys. He is the hard nut that we have so missed, and I'm so lucky that we have him. He's just going to be absolutely phenomenal for us this season. Scott Pendlebury, Bo McCreary played a great game. The Dacos brothers had over 60 touches between them. Nick Dacos, I think I read, did he go at 95% efficiency or something like that? Just uses the ball so well, 35 touches. It's just a Dacos' world, and we're just really living in it. That's all it is. Like, every single player played their role really, really well. Now, let's talk about Jeremy Howell and the unfortunate, well, not news yet because we don't know, but as I'm recording this, we think it might be a compound fracture or a broken arm, whatever it may be. He put his body on the line to try and stop a goal, and he paid for it dearly. And we had that win for Howie. That one was for Howie. You could see the boys rally around him, you know, when he was getting carted off and stuff like that. It's sad. You know, he just signed that 1-year contract extension, vice captain. I tweeted after it happened, you know, the result doesn't matter because of what happened. And, you know, I stand by that tweet. Yes, I celebrated the win. And obviously the result is the result. But what I'm trying to say from that tweet is just that, you know, it puts everything into perspective. Like, you know, last year was probably going to be his last year, and now, or these last 2 years were probably going to be his last 2 years, and now he might not even play this year at all, which is sad, which is really, really sad. But if you then look at it on the flip side, this gives Billy Frampton maybe 16 or so games, maybe the whole rest of the season. He'll go straight in. It's next man up, right? So you're going to have Frampton, Murphy, more in that sort of back line as your tools. Frampton is going to be playing that more one-on-one role that Darcy Moore and Jeremy Howe were kind of playing yesterday. They weren't allowed to peel off too much. So Frampton will be playing that role, that lockdown role, which is going to let Moore wander a little bit around the ground, a little bit more, come in for those intercept possessions. So everything has a silver lining, and as unfortunate it is for Jeremy Howe, it's very fortunate for Billy Frampton because you just see him coming straight into the team. There will be people telling you that it's only round one, you're celebrating like it's a grand final, keep a lid on it. And look, a lid is nice and firmly on it, right? Let's put things into perspective. It's round one. This season, or any season, is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We get that, right? There's 23 or whatever it is, 24 rounds, whatever. We get that. But when you come up against the reigning premiers, the benchmark of the competition with a near full squad, pretty much, because Hawkins was playing, Cameron was playing, etc., etc., they're on a 16-game winning streak, and you put 8 unanswered goals against them and beat them after being over after being down by over 20 points, that is not something to scoff at. It is something worth celebrating. And then, you know, after today, the lid will go back on and we'll focus on Port Adelaide. But soak it in. It is a very, very good win. Backs against the wall sort of good win that we know Collingwood are good for now. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's just an aura about this year. There's something in the air that I've been feeling for so long. And look, it's way too early to sort of say anything. And we'll see how, you know, up until halfway through the season, we'll see how that kind of plays out. But we are just, not only are we exciting to watch, and it's not even just for us exciting to watch, neutral supporters will flick on a Collingwood game because they know every single time it's going to be a great game. Like that yesterday compared to Thursday night's game was, you know, boring up until sort of like that last sort of quarter or so. But it is a great brand of football to watch, an exciting brand of football to watch. Craig McRae has done the best thing probably to happen to this club in the last 20 or so years besides a premiership. But man, I am just so G'd up for this season, and what a great, great, great way to start than by defeating the Premiers. Guys, this has just been my preview. Let me know your thoughts down below. How did you see it? Who was your best on? Who do you want to see more of? Where can we improve? Everything, let me know down below. But until then, like, comment, subscribe. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your pets. And until next time, Double Checkers. I'll swoop you later.